time for another podcast where we're talking about things like the Oscars and Coachella and the fact that I'm in charge of a dog you're listening to. Josh figures it out. And his special guest, Lynette, you're listening to. Josh figures it out. And you're just staring at me with a scary face.
Yeah, no, that was actually pretty good.
Oh, thank you. I know, I wasn't sure whether to go for the high octave or go an octave lower, but I went for it at the last second. We just recorded like 10 minutes of this podcast without realizing that it wasn't actually recording.
Yeah.
So we're kind of starting over. If you want just a quick rundown of what you guys missed, it was mostly my guest giving some pretty good criticism of my podcast.
I was critiquing his podcast, telling him how I could improve it.
Which I appreciate, and I'm actually going to use some of that. I swear I did not stop recording on purpose. I actually like kind of including the criticism, saying maybe I should kind of focus on a single interest on my podcast and have a very specific structure week in and week out instead of trying new things every week. And I was like, yeah, but I want to go experimental. Rules are made to be broken, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera.
And I think that you don't have to focus on just one thing each time, but I think it still should be a little bit more structured, or not even structured, but just like a little bit more edited.
Fair enough. I come from a live radio background. I'm used to not editing anything.
Yeah, but you also are used to having two other people in the room to bounce things off.
Also true. You know, like I said, the solo podcast I did for the first four episodes of Josh Figured Out were basically me practicing doing solo, and it's a totally different skill. It's a skill that's completely different than actually engaging in conversation with people.
Yeah,
it's something I kind of wanted to work on.
And like I told you before, your podcast with your dad was great. And honestly, if you wanted to go that direction, I think you could just have the two of you do it every week, and it would be interesting.
A me and my dad podcast. Yeah,
yeah, it could be like the Richmonds, or I don't know, something.
Right, funny. Right. We have to do theme song crowdsourcing once again, because I got your drum beat, and I even finally narrowed down your bass line. It was neck and neck for a while between bass line number 4 and bass line number 5, but you guys picked bass line number 5! Yeah! Woo! Congratulations to bass line number 5. So, we are going to listen to these 5 chord progressions that I made for bass line number 5. Let's take a listen to chord progression number 1. Simple arpeggiator, very computery. It's fun. Fun is important. I think it's catchy.
Yep. Very bouncy.
Very bouncy. Very, very, very computery, and that kind of fits me, so I like that.
Lucky.
Chord progression number 2 is similar to chord progression number 1. It's the same actual chords, but it's a little subtler. It's a little bit more rhythmic. Leaves more room for vocals, because we are eventually going to add vocals.
That's a good point. Yeah, the first one might be a little too much to have vocals on top
Might be too busy. Chord progression number 3. You did not like this one.
I didn't like this one.
For some reason, I don't know. It reminds me of like supermarket music. I think that's maybe a slam on it, but I think of that in a good way. Like, it's sterile in a good way. That doesn't make any sense. Maybe you guys will like chord progression number 3. Chord progression number 4. Whoa. Too loud. Sorry. Chord progression number 4.
Yeah, this is like the string quartet EDM.
Yeah, the EDM string quartet. It's got a little bit of an epic build. It's maybe sounds a little too sad for this podcast, but
I don't know. Not very masculine.
I'm not very masculine, so
it's all right. Yeah, it's... nobody has to know that, Josh. You're on the radio.
They can still tell, trust me. Let's hear number 5.
Is that like piano-ish?
It's a guitar sample.
Oh,
it's a guitar sample that I just put a lot of echo on. Again, because the bass line kind of reminded me of New Order, I kind of tried to go for like a New Order sounding guitar line.
Speaking of New Order, were you at Coachella last year?
I did not go last year.
I know we're going to talk about Coachella.
We're
going
to get into Coachella. I actually did go, though, for one of the years where New Order was playing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was total dance party last year.
Huge
New Order.
It was a dance party that year too. I for some reason strongly remember them. I had a mashup radio show at the time. I was still in college, and I remember them playing that mashup of Blue Monday and Kylie Minogue's "Can't Get You Out of My Head," which was kind of big at the time. And I was like, "Yeah, they're playing this mashup that I played on the radio." It was exciting.
So that was the last one.
That was the last one.
Yeah, I like one and two.
You like one? Hey, you shouldn't even say your choices. You're going to influence people in the wrong way.
Well, that's all right.
You guys are free voters. You have to vote for yourself. At Radio TFB on Twitter, tell me which chord progression do you like most, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Lynette, you were an intern on the Jason Ellis Show.
Yeah, I was one of the last interns.
Well,
the last intern you had
right,
to deal with.
Not one of the last interns ever. One of the last interns during my tenure with the Jason Ellis Show.
Yeah.
I wanted you to be on
the best one. Just kidding.
You know what? You were one of the better ones. You actually kind of like you knew what you were talking about. You were good on the radio. You did your job well. I think you were one of the better ones.
In Will's words, you're not dumb. That was like one of the best compliments. Like
I know that doesn't seem like a high bar to cross, but for some of our interns, yeah.
Or you're not stupid, I think.
Right.
And the biggest compliment I ever got from Jason was, you don't suck, which is amazing because it's not hard. It's not a hard job.
It's really not. It's not. No, it's just kind of just do what...
Show up,
take some phone calls, do whatever's necessary. We take care of most of it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm curious a little bit about your radio background.
Okay.
Just because I knew that you were on the Kevin and Bean Show. Were you doing college radio also? Or?
Yeah, I was doing college radio, so all throughout college. Yeah, because I was specifically a radio broadcasting major. And
right.
I chose a school that had that specific major. Because a lot of schools, you know, you have to major in communications or something. And then, you know, then you can try to work on the college radio station.
Right.
So, so I specifically studied radio broadcasting. So I was on the radio every week in the studio all the time. I just lived there basically.
I remember that at my old college radio station crashing on the couches a couple of times.
Yeah. I guess why I chose radio was the main thing is I wanted a job that I would like.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah. And I've always been a huge music fan. But I'm not a musician, so I'm not somebody who can create music. I just don't have that talent. But I love to critique it, and I love listening to it. And so originally my passion for music was like, well, maybe I could be a DJ and play records and whatnot.
Right.
That is
why I first got into college radio. All I did until the very end, I did pretty much all music shows because I loved music. And I similarly, I do electronic music like that, but I could never play an instrument. My fingers are dumb. Kind of my outlet was first making like loops and beats like that, and then just playing whatever I could find in the stacks at college radio. And that was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I also, as I got older, I started listening to, because, terrestrial radio is such crap. You know, they
right.
hardly play what I'm into. And so I would listen to more talk, and then I realized, I like a lot of podcasts, a lot of shows, and I like talking on the radio. I think it's a lot of fun. And then I also just like the environment of being in a studio.
It is fun. It's a rush. It's a rush to just be creating something just by talking into a microphone.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I guess I'm kind of lazy because I have friends who, went to film school, and I'm just like, well, that's a lot of work. Like, being on a set and setting everything up and doing all that stuff, like that's a creative thing to do and it's great, but it's too much work for me. I like coming to a studio, talking into a mic, and kind of being, separate from the rest of the world, even though you're reaching so many people.
That's you. That's an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I just like that environment of just being in a studio and just hanging out
and
kind of doing your own thing. Like, I'm kind of a loner, I guess. I mean, I have a lot of friends, but
I wonder if radio attracts loners for that reason, just because it is to be just talking to yourself or trying to communicate with so many people. I
yeah,
think
like,
attracts.
I don't mind, and what I mean by that is I'm not like antisocial or anything, but I like sort of being left to my own devices and and sort of doing things on my own. So I loved radio because at the college radio station you're just in there by yourself.
You can do everything yourself. That's if you're.
Yeah.
And I've worked on movie stuff, and working on movies, it's collaborative.
It's such a team effort, and
yeah.
you have to rely on everybody, and you're only as good as the people you work with. So radio for me, like you know, I always put in 100%. And so to have to like lift other people up or do more than your fair share, blah, blah, blah. Like you don't really have to worry about that in radio.
Right. Right. You could just go in and do.
Yeah.
And I love working on both things. I love, you know, I love collaborating with people too, and kind of directing movies is fun, and corralling all these different elements and working on it for months. But there's also it is just a rush to just go and record, have this created thing that you can send to everybody and they can just listen to it.
Yeah.
Then you out of college, then you got internship with Kevin and Bean. How was that working for them?
Oh, it was great. So I grew up in LA County, and so I listened
as did I.
Yeah, so I listened to K-Rock as a kid, and I had an older sister that I shared a room with, and she would always listen to the Kevin and Bean in the morning. So I, even as like a really young kid, like 12 years old, I was listening to them. And then I just never stopped. They've sort of just been like my go-to, and I'm hardly ever up that early anymore.
Right.
So luckily they have the podcast that I subscribe to, and so I listen to them every day. And I thought, oh, it'd be so much fun to intern for them. And luckily there was an alum from my school who worked at K-Rock, and so I name drop him, and I got the job at K-Rock. And it was so much fun. Everyone was so nice. And it was just really cool to work with these people that I've been listening to my whole life. I remember when I went in for the interview, almost everyone was there.
Like, right.
Bean wasn't, but Kevin was there. Lisa Mae was there. King of Mexico was there. Like everyone, it was a group interview. And I walked in, I'm like, oh my God. Like it was just kind of cool just to meet everybody.
Right. But that's weird that the entire crew is there. Like all
yeah,
kind of all chipping in of their input
yeah,
at the same
time.
Yeah,
it was a group interview. And yeah. So they all kind of asked me questions. And yeah, so that was a lot of fun.
Awesome. And would you still say doing radio is like your number one goal? That's kind of what you're aiming towards?
Yeah, it is. I realized that radio doesn't pay very much, so that was kind of a disappointing thing.
Yeah. I think everybody who gets into that industry eventually
like,
realizes
oh,
that.
Oh, wait. Uh-oh. Maybe I chose the wrong field, but I figure I've
what are you, it's,
I've already put so much work into it that...
And it's worth it to do something you love. It's worth it to do something you're passionate about.
Yeah, so...
Whatever the money is.
And you just keep working at it. And, you know, I mean, like Kevin and Bean are millionaires. You know, I know Jason Ellis is making a pretty penny. And so
it can be done.
It can be done. Yeah. You just have to work at it. And if you finally get there, then, you know,
yeah.
There you go.
Well, I have I think that's the interview portion out of the way.
Okay.
Although I have a couple weird interview questions for you as well. Oh, don't be like that.
No, it's okay. No, I'm only saying that because... before I got the internship at Jason Ellis, mm-hmm. I was also interviewed by Clear Channel, and they were asking me just like the weirdest questions, like if you were an ice cream flavor, what would you be, or like stupid crap like that. And so I had to come up with these answers.
What position was that for?
It was for
where they need to know which ice cream flavor you are.
No, it was you know they had it. I was basically being interviewed by like these really like people my age basically who were probably had just started working there, and they had these questions, and so they asked me like the normal questions that you would ask in an interview, and then they were like, oh, there's some like personality questions just to get
right.
a sense of your personality, and so then they would ask me these really off the wall questions.
And was this a job where like personality was necessary?
I mean, it was for a promotions intern to work for their promotions department.
Right.
But
I guess they figure, I don't know, you'll be representing the station outside and you got to have that.
Yeah. And I
whatever
mean, that
feel.
Kind of job you're working with other people too. So I
right.
guess, but.
I noticed this actually applying for jobs and it wasn't even the job application questions. It was every time you apply for a job now, you have to get a username and password. And along with that, you have to give answers to a bunch of security questions
yeah.
in case you forget your password.
Yep.
This is now for every single job. And some of the security questions they make you answer are things like, what is your dream vacation spot? Or what was your favorite movie as a child?
Yeah.
Things
uh-huh.
that your answer might change from day to day.
Exactly. Yeah. I heard you talking about that. And then also just the stupid ways they keep coming up with like what your password has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like for the first time, it asked for a special character. Like not only do you need a capital letter, lowercase letter, numbers, but now you need a special character.
Right.
And I remember you saying, I'm just going to put an exclamation mark
right.
at the end of it.
Just
But it's like, how am I supposed to remember all of this?
You've got to write all these things down because everybody's
yeah.
got different rules. And then, yeah, if I don't, I might say right now my favorite movie as a kid was The Sandlot, but in a couple weeks, if I remember my password, I might be like, what was my favorite movie as a kid?
Yeah.
Was it that? Was it Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Both great movies, by the way. Okay, weird interview question. If you could use only one mode of transportation to get around for the rest of your life, what would it be? And this includes every time you have to move from one place to another outside of your house.
Well, it depends on where I live. I mean, if I'm living in LA, car, gotta have my car. But for example, I studied abroad in England.
Yeah, it means you'll never get to go to England.
And I would never drive in England. So, I mean, I don't know. It depends on
where you are. It means you couldn't even go to England from here if you lived in LA.
But how?
You could cross the ocean.
But if I could only choose one mode of transportation, am I going to take a plane to the grocery store? No.
Well, this is why you got to think it through. See, my answer is a helicopter. Because you can take a helicopter everywhere.
How far can you take a helicopter before it runs out of fuel?
Well, you'd have to plan landings, I guess. Or maybe carry a lot of fuel around with you in case you're doing those, like, cross-Atlantic trips. I think it could make it. I imagine just having a helicopter hovering out above my house at all times with, like, a rope ladder hanging down.
Yeah.
So I can walk outside my door, climb up the rope ladder, and go where I need to go.
Okay.
It doesn't even have to land. This is me planning ahead for my future when I have a helicopter. You got to think about these things. You never know what the future brings. You have to get a tattoo of a major corporation's logo.
Oh, jeez.
What corporation would it be?
Oh, major corporation. Okay, there are corporations I actually like. Google. I love Google.
But aesthetically, is Google's logo all that great? It's just the word Google written out.
Well, sometimes when they make their fancy Googles, like just the other day, God, who was it? It was someone who worked with monkeys, and I don't remember who it was, but it was like her birthday or something, and they had like the coolest little Google picture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, one of their special logos.
Yeah,
but
that doesn't
logos. Count. You can't do that. It's got to be like, it's got to be the corporate logo, the stuff that's on like the letterhead.
I don't know. What would you do?
I thought about this.
It's not fair because you get to think about it, and I have to come up with it.
Okay, how about, fine, I'll say my answer first, and that gives you time to think about your answer. My answer was America Online, which is
AOL?
Mostly... Yeah, which is mostly defunct, so it doesn't matter that I'm sponsoring them, but it's just a cool-looking logo. It's like a little triangle. Imagine like an AOL tramp stamp.
Mm.
I think I could rock that.
I'm not a tattoo person anyway, so...
I'm mostly not, but I will eventually get another one, I think.
Oh, what do you already have?
You haven't seen my tattoo?
Oh, Wolf Knives tattoo. Okay.
Yeah. I was the first person to get that tattoo.
Oh,
the Wolf Knife
really?
Laser Torch. Yeah. Everybody else is an imitator.
Hmm.
All right. One more weird question. What diet food tastes better than its regular equivalent?
Good question. Well, give me your answer first.
My answer was I was drinking Propel, and then I started drinking Propel Zero. Propel Zero tastes better, significantly better. I don't know what it is. I don't know what sweetener they're using, but it's cleaner. There's something about the Propel regular that tastes artificial. Propel Zero doesn't taste artificial. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. I can't answer it because I don't really, I mean, like, I'll drink Diet Pepsi and I don't really care what it tastes like, but only if I need, like, carbonation. I don't eat a lot of, like, diet versions of foods.
Neither do I never eat diet versions of foods, but you I don't know, sometimes it's better, and when you find the better ones, it's you figure, hey, it's also healthier for you because it's diet, even though that's probably a lie.
No, because there's what it means is there's a chemical shitstorm inside
right.
That makes it so there's no calories.
Exactly. I have been taking care of a dog for the last week and a half. Are you a dog owner?
No, I can't because I can't have dogs in my little studio apartment, but I love dogs. What kind of dog is it?
I think it's a terrier. It's some kind of terrier.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what kind of terrier it is. It's not one of the little yippy ones.
Uh-huh.
This dog barks like a normal dog. I guess I grew up with dogs, but I haven't owned a dog in a long time. I've never taken care of a dog. But my mom is out of town. She's on vacation, and she asked me to dog sit for her.
Uh-huh.
And I figured, why not? That means I'm staying at her house for a couple of weeks while she's gone.
Uh-huh.
And just feeding the dog every day. And I've tried to cozy up to this dog and warm up to this dog. It's a little bit of a challenge.
Really?
She's sweet. Her name is Charlie. But for the first, all she wants to do is lick me. I try to pet her, and she just keeps licking my hand. And then I let her lick my hand for a while, and she won't stop licking my hand. And then she tries to travel up my arm. And then I have an entire arm covered in dog slobber.
Maybe you just taste too good. Are you using some kind of, like, lotion or something?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I should stop rubbing dog food all over my arms.
Yeah.
That's probably the problem. But She doesn't understand fetch. Like, I throw her a toy and she grabs it and then she doesn't come back to me. Or she'll bring me a toy and then I'll throw it and then she'll just look at me confused.
So you're saying the dog is stupid.
I'm not saying the dog is stupid. I'm saying I'm stupid. I'm saying, like, sometimes they see the dog looking at me and I'm just like, I'm not sure what you want. I feel like you're trying to tell me something, but I don't know what it is. But I'm feeding it. I'm taking it for walks. I'm doing all the stuff I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to play with it.
Well, that's all you have to do.
But then one time it's a fairly big house. And I was trying to my mom was nice enough to stock the fridge full of like frozen food for me because this is what I eat.
Yeah.
But but the first night I was there, I was looking for the microwave. And I could not, do they not own a microwave? I could not find it anywhere in the house. Uh-huh. I'm searching all over the house. And eventually, after like 15 minutes of searching and a moment of desperation, I looked at Charlie and I said, do you know where the microwave is? And Charlie didn't move, but she looked at a cabinet. And I opened the cabinet and the microwave was
no
inside.
No way.
Seriously.
See? She's awesome.
Maybe she's super smart. Or maybe it's the fact that this cabinet was also the cabinet that her treats are in. And so she was just going to look at that cabinet anyways, no matter what. But I'm choosing to believe that this dog is smarter than I realize. Eventually, we've gotten a lot better. The first couple of days, she wasn't eating at all. And now she's eating a lot more. I think we're bonding. We're starting to bond.
So this is a dog that you weren't that familiar with?
Every time I've gone over to my mom's house, I do Charlie a little bit. But I don't think she was... She's very attached to my mom.
Yeah, my mom actually has a border terrier mix of some sort, and it's like, I mean, it's her lap dog. Like it has separation issues.
I know.
Yeah, I had to house sit one time for the dog. He's like super sweet dog, but yeah.
But we're bonding now. We're starting to become buddies. It's cool.
Well, that's good.
And I also found some pot at my mom's house. It was just sitting on, it was like one of those canisters of medical marijuana sitting on a bookshelf. Just sitting out on a bookshelf.
It was just sitting out?
The only explanation I could come up
You're
with
totally
is that...
totally calling out your mom right now.
The only explanation I could come up with is that my sister was staying there recently and maybe she'd left some behind. It seems more believable than my mom is a secret pothead.
Have you asked your sister?
I should. I don't know. I mean, my sister does smoke pot, so it's believable. But I don't know.
Maybe she left it for you. Just like, Josh is coming over.
He's going to need it. I'm going to have to ask her, though. Right now, it's a mystery. It's driving me crazy. I kind of want to believe my mom is a secret pothead. And then, the last thing I did this week is I went to a Golden Globes after party.
I saw the pictures. What was that all about? Was it like, did you get the hookups from your dad?
He did. He did. He had some passes to the HBO Golden Globes after party.
Oh, sweet.
So
I just saw like the one picture you posted on Facebook.
Yeah, I posted, I think, just a couple photos of me there.
Did you go with your dad or?
No. I went with a couple friends.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, well, actually, one was just a friend of my dad who wanted to tag along. I'm like, why not? I was partly going, thinking, hey, maybe try to make some connections or network. You know, it's one of those Hollywood parties, so I could be trying to talk to people and be like, hey, here's my card in case you need a writer or somebody to produce a radio show for you or something like that. Who knows? But I'm terrible at networking.
And it's hard. I mean, it's hard, especially in environments like that. People are there to have a good time.
You don't want to bother anybody. And it's one thing if it's just HBO executives. It's another thing if it's actually like famous people. I wasn't expecting famous people to be there.
Yeah. So what was it like? Tell me about it.
It was fun. I did have a good time. I got on the dance floor a little bit. I danced with some famous people. I danced with Sofia Vergara briefly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. She was still in her Golden Globes dress. She got really drunk. She was actually telling media people, like, please don't take photos of me. I'm so drunk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was there an open bar?
There was indeed an open
sweet.
Bar.
Were you drinking a lot?
I was drinking a little bit.
If there was an open bar, I would be all over that.
It was great. It was great just, like, being, like, I just keep looking around and being like, holy shit, there's this guy I recognize. My worst missed opportunity was at some point, I think I just stopped dancing and I saw some guy across the room, like, wave at me and I waved back and then he gave me a thumbs up and I gave him a thumbs up back and I'm like, yeah, this guy thinks I'm awesome for some reason. Maybe he saw me dancing and it was like I dig his moves.
Cool.
But I didn't go over and talk to him and I later realized he was the showrunner for Game of Thrones. I would have loved to talk to that guy.
If that was me, I would have thought oh, they must be waving to somebody behind me, you know, well, like one of those things.
Well, when I waved and then he gave a thumbs up, I realized, no, he's looking at me. He's got to be looking at me. I assume.
So did you end up meeting anybody?
I did end up giving away some business cards and explaining, hey, here's who I am. Get in touch with me if I'm looking for such and such position. But I felt really weird about it and insincere. I think it's a skill I have to get better at. It's something I feel like the more you do and the more you talk to people, the more sincere you get and the less like you feel like you're just putting on some weird act where you're pretending to be friends with them for some personal gain.
Yep.
I don't know. I saw Pete Holmes. I gave him my business card. Probably nothing's going to come of it, but hey, you never know.
Who's that?
He's a comedian. He's got a show on TBS.
Oh, I don't have TBS. I don't have cable.
Funny dude. Pete Holmes is a funny dude. I don't have cable either, but I still know who that is. His podcast, he's got a great podcast. If you listen to podcasts, you should listen to You Make It Weird.
Oh, okay.
Funny guy. And speaking of Golden Globes, the Oscar nominations came out.
Mm-hmm.
Really good list this year, actually.
I'm really bad. Like, the last couple of years, I've hardly gone to the movies because somebody always pisses me off in the theater. So I would rather...
Wait, somebody always pisses you off in
almost
the theater?
Almost every time, like whether it's somebody getting on their phone or just making noise behind or something like that. Like I just kind of don't like going to the theater anymore.
Do you just have a low threshold for getting annoyed by people?
Probably.
Would you rather just be like sitting in a silent room with no distractions whatsoever? Because I kind of get that.
Look, the way it started was because some of my best friends like have gone to film school, so we're all big movie people.
Right.
And so I used to see movies all the time with my friends. And it started where, like, when the Oscars would come around, I'd really try to make sure I saw every single movie that was nominated. And so what ended up happening was there was one year where, I kid you not, every time I went to the theater, like, one time this old couple came in, like, 15 minutes after the movie started and came right up to me and said, how much have we missed or something? And I'm like, really?
Well, okay.
You're gonna interrupt my movie watching experience when you came in late?
That's a little insane.
Yeah.
And I have noticed that older people are way worse about this than
older
people
suck.
Maybe they just grew up in an era where it's okay to just like talk throughout the entire movie. I feel like the younger generation actually knows, like, shut up, you're in a movie theater.
Yeah. And then there was another time where, and I try to go, so then I was like, well, I'll try to go when it's not going to be crowded. And so I would maybe go during the day, on a weekday. And there was this one time where I swear I was the only person in the theater, maybe like one other person, and somebody came in and sat literally right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really? The whole theater? And you have to sit? I was so creeped out.
Okay, that is a creepy
yeah.
move.
Yeah. And then there was one time where same thing, I got there and then this like gaggle of women came behind me with like all this food and just loudly eating and, you know, ruffling their papers and whatnot. So it's almost like every time I go, somebody pisses me off to where now I guess I just expect to be pissed off.
Right.
So unless it's a group thing where my friends are like, oh, let's all go. I don't know. I don't really care to go to the movies so much anymore. So I'm really behind.
So do you not care about like seeing movies the week they come out or a couple weeks after they come out?
No, I don't care. I don't have to see them right away.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you don't care about that, then it's not necessary. I still like... Especially for some movies. I mean, a movie like Gravity, for example, you want to see it on the big screen.
Yeah. So I saw Gravity on Thanksgiving Day with my mom and my cousin. And my own cousin had to whip out her phone like in the last 10, 15 minutes of the movie.
Oh, come on.
Where you've been invested all this time.
Right. And then you've got this bright screen in the corner of your
vision.
And
all of a sudden, yeah, this bright screen in the corner of my eye. I wanted to take my cousin's phone and throw it on the ground. I'm like, really? My own family member, I have to deal with this? So I was just like, wow.
I can't identify because, you know, if I'm watching a movie at home or I'm watching a movie like on my Kindle or just if I've got headphones on and I can be fully invested in what I'm watching. You're not worrying about any sort of distraction.
So movies like Gravity, I definitely will go to the theater because there are some movies that you want to see on the big screen.
Exactly.
But for other movies, I'm thinking, you know, I'll just wait and watch them at home and, you know, so I don't have to worry.
And it's often a better experience and I can like pay it and I can pay attention to all the little subtleties and think about it. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's a different experience.
And it's cheaper. I mean, it's like $14 to go to the movies.
Also a good point.
So
this is probably the reason movie theaters are going to die out soon.
Yeah, I know, but yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Maybe it's not that big of a loss. Maybe we'll just all be in our little cocoons watching movies at the same time. I'll bring up just the Oscar nominations really quickly, just because I thought they were actually really good this year. 2013's been an amazing year for movies in general. I was really disappointed. No Inside Llewyn Davis. That was my favorite movie last year. It's a great movie. I love the Coen brothers. It's, I think, one of their best ones in a long time. Was getting a ton of awards, ton of Critics' Choice Awards, and it seemed like it just got totally shut out by the Oscar voters. I don't know why. But there were enough great movies this year made up for it. American Hustle was great. Gravity was really pretty great. Script needed a little work, but the visuals were great.
Oh, for Gravity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her was fantastic. 12 Years a Slave was dark, but, I mean, still really good quality movie. Wolf of Wall Street. All the Best Picture nominees. I have not seen all of them. I still need to see Captain Phillips. I need to see Philomena.
Philomena?
Philomena. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that is, but I want to try to see all of them this year. Because yeah, the ones I did see are great.
The only one I've seen is Gravity. Like, every other one I could totally rent later on. You know what's funny is I used to think I should watch all of them because my friends and I throw an Oscar party every year, mm-hmm. and we take bets. Everyone throws in $5 and then we fill out the ballots.
This every year.
Yeah. And then whoever wins gets the pot. Right. So, you know, every year I was like, oh, I'm going to see all of them. And then I voted on the ones that I thought should win. And so, was it last year or the year before? It was the first time that I gave up on trying to watch all of them. And so I was like, I haven't even seen maybe I've seen one out of all of these movies. Mm-hmm. And so then I just went online and I looked at what people said, thought were going to win.
you probably won the pool.
That's the year I won the pool.
Of course, of course.
I just went off what everyone else said, not what I personally thought should win, but what everyone else said. And I won the money.
Well, it's easy. I mean, they have sites that just have like the odds. If you just pick the odds on favorite, of course you're going to win the pool.
Yeah.
It's you got to let your own biases sink in a little bit. Then you actually have people you're rooting for. Like, I'm going to be rooting for her to win, even though it's not going to. American Hustle is going to. Not that American Hustle wasn't also great. The cast was pretty great across the board. Jennifer Lawrence is going to win another Oscar. She's like 23. I don't care. She's talented.
I don't think she really deserved it the first time. I like her, but they're just much better actresses out there.
She was great in Silver Linings Playbook. You didn't like her in Silver Linings Playbook?
She was good, but that year was kind of a weak year category. Like, mm-hmm. just for... Because I think, like, for example, she was up against Jessica Chastain, who I think is a much better actress, but maybe her role in Zero Dark Thirty just wasn't, like, good enough for what I know.
It was a little less flashy. The movie was a little less flashy.
Yeah, but had Jennifer Lawrence been up the year before against Viola Davis and right. Meryl Streep and all, you know, like, she wouldn't have had a chance. It depends on who you're up against that year, what movies were, you know, that year.
This actually popped in my head thinking of the animated series, the animated feature choices this year. Like, the odds on favorite is Frozen.
Yeah.
Which I remember when the reviews came out and people were just saying, hey, it's like Tangled, but not as good. And that would not be the front runner for the best animated movie if Pixar was still the Pixar I remember and not just putting out like Monsters University.
Uh-huh. You know, I lost pretty much all my respect for the Oscars when an American Idol contestant won. So I don't really
care
anymore. Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that.
Jennifer Hudson.
That's right. She basically just won for like that one scene where she had a song.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's a singer, and right. she did really well for her first acting gig,
right.
but I was like, wow, really? You're giving her an Oscar? And, you know, 3-6 Mafia has an Oscar. It's just so funny. Everyone can get an Oscar.
3-6 Mafia deserves an Oscar. Did you know Win Butler from Arcade Fire is up for an Oscar?
Oh, good. Well, they're super talented, so.
They are super talented.
And the guy from Edward Sharp won a Golden Globe, which was awesome.
Well, that's... It bothers me too, though. I like, you know, it's not like I want Sean Williams to win like his 47th Oscar or anything, but I feel like it's kind of a dying art of the people who just compose scores for movies. And
there's
like,
only a handful of
there's
them.
There's only a couple people who really do that anymore.
All the time, yeah.
Right. And now these days it seems like, you know, Trent Reznor is winning for that
right.
kind of work, and now the Arcade Fires and the Edward Sharp guy. It's, I don't know. It's nice that pop stars are winning, but I'd like to see the people who actually kind of focus on that as their art form get a little bit more recognition instead
yeah.
of these interlopers who are kind of coming into the category.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Although I really liked Win Butler's score. It was actually really good. I can see why they did it, because, you know, I think Arcade Fire only scored the trailer for Where the Wild Things Are a couple years ago, and that was, like, the most more memorable than the movie itself.
Well, the trailer was their song Wake Up.
Right. Yeah, but
so
they, yeah,
it was
they used
like
that
a song that they already had.
Okay, it wasn't a score, but they used that song for the trailer, and that trailer was better than the movie. So,
yeah.
So maybe they figured, let's actually get Arcade Fire to score it this time around.
Uh-huh.
We should talk about the Coachella lineup.
Okie dokie.
I printed it out so I could refer
to
it.
You're prepared.
No,
that's
because,
amazing.
I mean, it just, like, it all just jumbles together in my head at this point, so I have to, like, look at it.
Because you're a Coachella veteran.
I am, and I've gone so many times that I just can't keep anything straight anymore.
Right, you're like, what year was this? What year were they there? What
I
year
don't even remember last year, to be honest with you.
Because I think I went to Coachella all 4 years of college, and I have gone, I've gone a handful of times since then, only for like one day at a time. This is the first year in a while
only
where I'm
one
like,
day at a time.
What? I went like Saturday a couple of years ago. Just because, I don't know, either the lineups looked uninspiring. That's happened a lot in recent years.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. The lineups don't even matter because it's like the whole collective experience. So, I mean, most everyone who's on the lineup is either someone I've already seen or some band that I'm not familiar with.
Right.
And I still can't wait to go.
You're right. You are right. It's more about the experience, although I often find myself at like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in Coachella, like there's no bands I care about playing, and I'm just kind of sitting in the
beer
heat,
garden.
Like, why am I here?
That's right. What the beer garden's for.
Right. or I don't know, the tent that's got like the fans and the water spray, and uh-huh. I like that one too.
Yeah, the Dew Lab.
Yes, the Dew Lab.
Yeah.
So I think I had more of a fun time actually when I went camping. I don't always go camping now.
I have never been camping.
You've never been camping?
No. That's like the one thing that I really don't know that much about. The first year I went when I was 19, I like grabbed, like my friend had an uncle who lived in Palm Springs. And so right. I made her come with me. And I actually went to Coachella all by myself the first 2 years because I had heard about it, but I didn't know like really what it was all about. And I didn't have anybody to go with me. So she let me stay at her uncle's house and mm-hmm. she came with me so I wouldn't feel weird. And then the second year, it hadn't quite blown up yet, so I found a hotel room. And then, every year since like 2004, so I was able to stay with my boyfriend because his parents lived in Palm Springs. So
right.
So I've been like really lucky with having a place to stay. I've never camped, and I don't know if I could at this point because I'm so used to being able to take a shower
right.
and get sleep.
It is an experience.
Those people do not sleep. I mean, everyone's all pumped when the festival is over, and so they keep kind of partying in the campgrounds.
There's so much energy in the air. You find yourself, it's like 3 o'clock and you're like, I should be sleeping right now, but I can't.
Yet the sun's gonna be up at like 6 o'clock and super hot, so there's no way mm-hmm. you can sleep during the day because it's just too hot. So, and then even, you know, I've talked to people who camp and they just say like, you know, the lines for the shower are so long, and I would feel so gross not being able to take a shower. So I have not camped, although I'm really jealous of, I want to go explore. I've never actually gone to explore the camping area because
mm-hmm.
Coachella really tries to make it nice for them. And I know they've got all kinds of stuff. They have like yoga classes you can take
Now that's new. I do not remember them having activities when I was camping.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new thing. Like over the last few years, they've really tried to make it nice. So they have a farmer's market in the camping area. They've got like an arts and crafts area.
I've noticed they have like premium tents and super premium tents now if you want to show it like $3,000 to...
Yeah, if you just want to bring your own tent and car and camp, it's like $85. Or you could upgrade to a teepee. That's like for two, it's like $2,000. Or you could do the fancy, fancy El Dorado camping, which is not camping because you're in like a really classy tent
right.
that's fully furnished with like a queen size bed and chairs and whatnot. And that is crazy. It's it includes festival passes, but it's like $6,000.
I wonder what like if you told a like a Native American chief hundreds of years ago that you could now sleep in like a luxury teepee for $2,000
tourism. It's cheaper to get like a hotel room for that long. But the way to go, what my friends do, what we've done the last couple of years is get a just a vacation rental. they're all over the place. And if you have, like, we have 10 people in our group. So it ends up being like $300 per person from Thursday night through Sunday night. We leave Monday.
Right.
And it's super affordable. And you're in a house. So you have a kitchen. There's usually a pool and spa that's in the facility. That's the way to go.
It sounds too nice. Maybe it's just the way I started doing it. But it almost seems like doing a festival like this should be something you, like, endure. You know, like, you come out of it transformed. Like, I haven't slept in 72 hours. I'm so dirty and smelly. But
well,
the music
keep in
was
mind,
awesome.
Keep in mind, I've gone 12 years in a row.
Uh-huh.
So at this point, I don't need that. Like, maybe when I first started going, that would be cool.
Right.
But now I'm just like, no, I'm too old for that shit. So I want a shower. I want a bed.
And I feel the same way at this point. To the point that I don't, you know, I end up the times I've gone, I stay in LA and I drive there and I show up at like 5 o'clock and I see some of the bands and I drive back.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so hard. God, we used to try to do that. We used to try to drive back to LA Sunday night.
Right.
And we would just be falling asleep. I remember, was it the Daft Punk year? I remember we tried to do that, to drive all the way back to LA. And I was like trying to get my boyfriend, like, my boyfriend was so tired. And I was trying to just get him like to stay awake. So we were like blasting Daft Punk. Like, let's, you know, like, keep the party going. Like,
right.
Let's get back to LA. It was only supposed to be a 2-hour drive, but we were so dead tired because it was like, you know, 3 days of just nonstop partying. So that's a little
right, and
rough.
As soon as you're out of that Coachella environment, the energy just goes down.
Yeah, so it's, and I remember also one of the years I went by myself, I did that as well because I didn't want to pay for an extra night at a hotel, and I had to pull over to a rest stop and like sleep, and which is totally not safe, but I had to just like take a little nap before I like drove the rest of the way home.
If you lock the doors, you're fine.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen at a rest stop?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyhow, I often do look at the lineup and I'll be like, if there's not a bunch of bands I really want to see, I don't end up going. It's not necessarily a tradition for me. This year, for one thing, all three of the headliners this year. That never happens. Outkast, it's a little less special now that they've announced like their 30-city tour that they're doing after Coachella, but that's still a huge deal to me.
It's a huge deal for me too. Outkast, you know, because at this point, most headliners are repeats for
yeah.
me. They've recycled a lot of
right. I've already seen the Arcade Fire.
Arcade Fire's headlined a couple of times already, and Muse has been there, and so. But Outkast, you know, my friends and I try to think of who have we not seen yet, and so we were really crossing our fingers for an Outkast David Bowie like co-headlining thing. So I'm just happy that we got half of that.
I think if Bowie were to do it, he would have done it last year when his album came out.
He should have when he came out with his album.
Right.
But yeah, I'd like to see Bowie or the Rolling Stones, but I'm really happy with Outkast.
Outkast is huge. That's really, really exciting to me. Although I'm often let down by hip-hop shows in general.
I think they will do a good job. The thing about Coachella is that most, with the exception of Kanye West, most artists, whether they're hip-hop or rock, they bring it. They come with this sense of, we need to give them something that they haven't seen before, which is why I love Coachella so much, and what makes it so magical is that you're not just going to see a regular performance. They know that you've been seeing bands all day, so they have to step it up.
Right.
And the headliners have this responsibility, and if they're a good performance is like, means that they're kind of humbled in a way, like they're really trying to give something to the audience. So
I don't always get that. I saw like ASAP Rocky a couple of years ago, and I just thought he was kind of just there, you know, mumbling shit while his hype man was screaming on top of him.
Well, right. Was he like in a tent or something?
Well, that most of the time they are in a tent, and the sound
right.
is a little muddy.
Yeah, most of the time the hip hop guys are like in a tent during the day.
Yeah.
That's whatever. I'm talking about headliners.
Right.
So I'll tell you, when I saw Jay-Z, I was like, God, Jay-Z was the first time they had a hip hop artist headline on the main stage. And he was amazing. He had a full band behind him. He brought Beyonce out.
Right.
Which you'd think he might not want to do because it might come across as gimmicky. But it's like, so what? It's Coachella. I'm going to bring Beyonce out. She's going to sing a song. It was awesome.
You're right that the Jay-Z is Kanye West of the world. It's a totally different story.
Kanye West sucked. He was awful. He's collaborated with so many people. He could have brought Rihanna out. He could have brought Katy Perry out. Instead, he just played their vocals on a computer or whatever.
That is
and
disappointing.
It was literally him by himself, no backup band, nothing. And he had this like crane that would bring him out into the audience, like above everybody. And he did this pause like he was Jesus. And he just expected everyone to like go crazy, but everyone was like, what? You know, like
I don't know. I love that. I love that shit.
So like I was like, okay, Kanye, you obviously don't get it.
I finally saw. I ended up seeing him at Staples Center last year, and that was that was all his production and lots of different weird artistic shit going on. I guess on a musical level, it was just him singing on top of his vocals. But I liked the art direction of it.
I think seeing him, you know, his own show at a place like the Staples Center is a better way to see him.
Probably.
But I think he was the last night, the third night, and everyone was like, really? This is what you're giving us? You know, we just had really high expectations. But what I will say for a headliner who does not disappoint, Arcade Fire.
Reliably great. They are one of the reliably great rock bands.
Yeah, and Arcade Fire is a band where I like them. They fit into my like indie rock kind of, you know, interest, but I've seen them at Coachella a couple of times, and so when they headlined a couple years back, I think it was 2010 or 2011, I was like, well, you know, I've seen them. I don't really care, but my friends wanted to go check them out, and so there wasn't anybody competing with them. So we went. We got dead center, main stage, and they ended up giving one of the most memorable performances of all my, like, you know, years at Coachella, because when they played Wake Up, their
big anthem. Although they have like 10 big anthems.
Yeah, all this and that year they didn't even have a new album out. So I was like, well, what are we? You know, it's just going to be another whatever performance. And so, but I'm so lucky that I was there, because they did that thing where all those giant balls fell from the top of the stage, mm-hmm. and everyone was like a kindergartner. We were like, oh my god, trying to catch them, and then you could catch them, and then they would light up and change color, and it was just an amazing thing that you weren't expecting. And so I'm definitely going to see Arcade Fire, because I don't know if they're going to try to top that or what, but I was so happy that I was there, because I wasn't expecting much from them, and they gave me, I mean, two best moments ever: Daft Punk and that moment at Arcade Fire.
Daft Punk was a highlight for me. Personal highlight was the Flaming Lips for me, was seeing them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember that year.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Even though they were really late and they were delayed and they had to play a shortened set, but that shortened set was fantastic.
Yeah, and I remember him getting really political, like talking about like Bush and the wars and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They put on a great show, and it just went, you know, one of those kind of life affirming big anthem bands as well.
Yeah.
I Queens of the Stone Age has been on my list forever. They were one of those bands I wanted to see back in high school and never got a chance to. So I'm excited by that possibility.
And they're locals too. The lead singer is from Palm Springs.
Right, that's right. They're from the Palm Desert area. Neutral Milk Hotel is less exciting than it might have been a couple years ago, before Jeff Magum was making his solo rounds. But that's still exciting. Still one of my favorite records of all time is that Neutral Milk Hotel record. Is there anybody you're particularly excited for besides Arcade Fire?
Yeah, so I just love to dance. Like, I love to dance.
There's some really heavy hitters in the dance department this
year. And I'm not even talking about EDM, because at this point, I don't even care who's in the Sahara tent. It's so funny, because I'll tell you a little bit about my background that you probably wouldn't have guessed. But
exclusive.
No, the first two years I went to Coachella, I was like a total raver. And so I lived in the Sahara tent. And this was back in the day of like Paul Oakenfold and DJ Tiesto and
Chemical Brothers.
Yeah, Chemical Brothers I think are a crossover act. So like I love them so much. I'll see them anytime. But this was like Felix the House Cat and God, who else? Like just like old school, you know, electronic DJs.
Yes.
Before they even referred to it as EDM. You know.
Right. No, back when like kind of Electro Clash was just rising out of indie.
Basically back when it was good. And so
harsh.
I'm just kidding, but not really. But yeah, and nowadays though, like I'll only go into the Sahara tent if you know, I'm on drugs, or you know, if there's like a lull in the action and have nothing to do and we want to get our dance on for a little bit. But do you want to say something?
Oh no, just that I don't know. I don't take ecstasy. I'm not a raver either. I like a lot of the EDM stuff. I'm going to be excited to see Skrillex.
Well, I guess. Okay. So, I mean, I'm a total music snob. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Skrillex was there a couple years back before he got super big. And then all of a sudden it was like nobody nothing but dubstep in the Sahara tent, like the year before last year. And then
I get it. But the trends on this stuff are always changing.
And to me right now, yeah, they're always changing. And so because I'm not super into that music anymore, I don't even know who's good. And to me, it all kind of sounds the same. But who I am really excited about, who's always a good time, is Girl Talk's going to be there
again. I was going to bring up Girl Talk, actually.
Girl Talk is so great. He's always a party. Girl Talk is so much fun because he doesn't like have an ego. He lets people come up onto the stage and dance, and it's just he's just creating a party for everybody.
The music's very ego free. Also, he's just playing pop hits that everybody knows. That's something that's a good time no matter what kind of what your musical background is.
But he's so good at the mashups. Like right. Everyone and their mother thinks they can do a good mashup and you can't, but he's actually very talented at it. So I'm really excited about him. And then I'm also really excited about Chromeo because they're going to be a dance party as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're super
cheesy. But more
your
style of dance party.
They're super cheesy, like electro, like throwback to the 80s music, but they're really good musicians and it's really well done. And so I can't wait to dance to them too.
Sleigh Bells is actually one of the bands that always gets me kind of pumped up, but I've never seen them live.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a huge fan of their most recent record, but the two before that were fantastic. They seem like guys who would really bring the energy, and I could see myself just kind of headbanging and freaking out too. There's a couple bands, I don't know, I never really got into the Replacements.
Me neither.
Maybe it's supposed to be a big deal they're getting back together, but
it's like if you're into them, it is.
Right.
But yeah, I'm the same. I don't care. I'm not into them.
Speaking of crossovers, Fatboy Slim is also there.
Okay, so here's what I have to say about Fatboy Slim. When I was like a raver and super into electronic music,
right.
Fatboy Slim was a huge deal to me. And I missed him. I didn't go. The only Coachellas I haven't been to were the first two. And so one of those years he was there and apparently he put on the most epic show. And I had never seen him. He doesn't really come to the US very often. So I had been waiting and waiting to see Fatboy Slim. And then finally, I think it was just a couple of years ago, he was on the lineup and I was so excited. And I thought, finally, we get to see Fatboy Slim.
Right.
Because I had all his records.
I did too.
I had all his CDs.
I think in a way he was kind of before his time. I feel like a lot of like the big EDM pop hits now are really indebted to that big beat sound.
Oh yeah, he's totally like a pioneer of electronic music. And I've always loved him. And so I was super excited. So all my friends, okay, so I don't know if I should admit this or not, but we took a little something to like get us going and whatever.
I don't think like cops are listening to this or anything.
Okay, so we were having a good time, I guess, dancing with Molly or whatever is like mm-hmm. how people say it. But so we were super excited and he honestly gave one of the worst performances I've ever seen. He did this weird thing. He was in the Sahara tent and he wasn't playing any of his own music. He was playing this just random stuff. And then finally, he started playing the intro to Right Here, Right Now,
Right
Here, Right Now, which is so classic. And so we were getting really excited. And then he kind of just stopped and then played Jump Around by House of Pain. But what? He wasn't mixing it. He played the whole song in its entirety.
So he was just treating it like a DJ gig, less of like a less playing his own music and more just playing other people's hits.
Yes, but he wasn't even mixing it. Like he was playing the whole song and it didn't make any sense. And he was just kind of walking around stage like some weird old man. And it was killing my role. I was actually mad. I was like, oh my God, this is such a waste.
How can he kill your role?
This is such a waste.
He's wasting your drugs.
This is a waste of good drugs. I was so disappointed and I had such high hopes that I don't even know what to expect this year. I don't know whether to try and see if he's going to make up for it or if it'll be a waste of time. I think I'll just have to see if he's up against anyone else I'm interested in because it could have been so epic. I mean, you've heard about like Live on Brighton Beach and these crazy things he's done in England.
It's sad that he was not bringing his full heat for the Coachella.
Not at all, and he's got so...
Because like you said, it's a place where most artists feel like they do have to bring their A game.
Exactly, and he has so many good songs that it would have been just so awesome to hear, and yeah, it was so bad.
That is a shame. I'm hoping he turns it around this year. I'm mostly really excited about this lineup. I don't even know if I can afford tickets, but I'm trying really hard to get some.
Well, I'll tell you what happened to me last year. Weekend one is always the best weekend to go.
Mm-hmm, because everybody's fresh. They don't feel like they just played the same show last week.
Exactly. Everyone's fresh, and I've gone both weekends twice in a row, so I can compare the two.
Right.
And people, like, bands kind of give you surprises and whatnot the first weekend that they have not repeated the second weekend. So I don't know why they feel like, you know, it's second weekend kind of feels like sloppy seconds.
Right.
Coachella.
But I don't even know why they start. It's just such a naked cash grab to even do the two weekend thing.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, it sells out so quickly. It allows more people to go. And even though I say that, I have gone both weekends because I just want to go again. And I'm and I'm always like happy that I did go again. So but what happened to me last year was I had gotten both weekends with the pre-sales. I always get the pre-sales so you could pay it off so you don't have to come up with that $300 all at once. And so I had both weekends and I didn't think I'd have a place to stay for second weekend. So I thought, oh, I'm going to sell my second weekend. I could not find anybody to buy my second weekend. People were like, you know, I had paid almost $400.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, I'll give you $200 for it. And so I was going to lose so much money on the deal that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to scramble for a place to stay. And I was lucky enough to get a place to stay really super last minute. I was so stressed out, but finally I got a place to stay. So if you really want to go, just look on Craigslist or the message boards of Coachella. People are giving away tickets all the time.
That sounds very smart. We are we're running later than I thought. I was going to do like a whole new music review segment. I don't even know if we have time for it.
Oh, well, we can do it and you can just edit it.
That's true. I was going to edit this whole podcast and do a 20-minute thing anyways. So per your advice.
No, I told you the ones you do by yourself
okay.
to edit.
Well, when it's you talking, don't edit it. I see what you're getting at. Okay, let's do a little bit of new music talk, and then I'm going to talk True Detective real briefly, and then we're going to wrap this up.
Okay.
So, I haven't talked about any music at all over the last month. Not a ton of music generally released in January. It's, you know, there's usually a big rush for the holiday season just before Christmas buying season, and then January is kind of a forgotten music period. But there were a couple of interesting releases that came out over the last few weeks of January so far. Del the Funky Homo Sapien released a free record.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a mixtape. Here, let's listen to a 30-second clip from that. Say something, bitch, so I can slap half your face backwards. You know practice makes perfect for certain, so why don't more practice something pertinent? You are what you eat, and so far I can see. A lot of suckers eat junk food, whatever's available off the dollar menu. Grand Royal, we got the plan that you can't foil. We about to make the whole planet coil. Spring into action, be what you imagine. Yeah, boy, Grand Royal. Nice yeah, boy, at the end. I appreciate that. I just appreciate hearing Del's voice again. He's got just one of the best voices in hip-hop still. Just an amazing flow.
Yeah.
I loved his Deltron 3030 record. I thought the Deltron follow-up that came out last year was a little bit weak, but I was excited to see this is just a 30-minute mixtape called Iller Than Most that he released, and it's actually really, really solid. That was a Beastie Boys tribute, actually, called Grand Royal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why it's named after their record label.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did you know that the Pixies released a new record?
No.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah,
this is a Blue-Eyed Hexa. Pixies have been getting a lot of shit for their new record.
Yeah.
People are not fans in general.
Well, I mean, and it's without Kim Deal, right?
It is without Kim Deal. It's even without the new Kim that they hired to take her place. I think they got a Paz Lynchanton from Perfect Circle.
Yeah, I've never been a huge Pixies fan, but I know a lot of
Blasphemy.
People. No, I know. And I know a lot of people who are super into them. But are they one of the bands where they've kind of already had their heyday? And so... really, like, do you really expect their new music to be that great?
No, but you also don't expect their new music to be openly terrible.
Okay.
And that sounded like some really, really weak sauce Pixies.
Yeah.
For example, you know, a band that's past their heyday would be Pavement. But Stephen Malkmus of Pavement just released a new record.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, David Bowie. Does anybody really care about new David Bowie? No, you want to hear Let's Dance and Golden Years, and you want to hear, like, you know,
but you also awesome but you listen to new Bowie, and you hope maybe he'll rediscover a little bit of that magic. Maybe there'll be some late breaking great single.
Yeah, it's like Paul McCartney. It's like they all come out with new stuff all the time, but is it good? No, you're still going to listen to the stuff from the 70s.
No, but you always hope to hear see if you can hear a little glimpse. Yeah. For example, maybe Stephen Malkmus can recapture some of the Pavement magic on Cinnamon and Lesbians. We should listen. Shanghai'd in Oregon. Cinnamon and Lesbians. The power lines revolt in time. I've been tripping my face off since breakfast. To me, it sounds like a Pavement song.
It really does. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
It makes you wonder, is it just because we're used to the old records that we just assume anything new can't possibly live up to it? If that had appeared on Brighten the Corners, would we think of it totally differently? Who knows?
That's true.
We're biased. We're just biased towards the first thing we heard. That's how everybody is. Pharrell has a new track. This one is actually up for an Oscar.
Oh, and he's going to be at Coachella.
He's suddenly like the new pop star of the moment again. Yeah, it seemed like the Neptunes era was over, and now he's back. And this one actually reminds me a lot of that Robin Thicke song.
That sounds pretty good.
Just kind of lighthearted fun.
I think he's going to be a good time, but I also think that it's going to be so crowded wherever he's performing. So
there's a lot of the new vanguard pop acts on this year. There's Lorde is playing, Chaim's playing.
Yeah, Ellie Goulding.
A little
mainstream.
Lana Del Rey.
But you know,
Foster the People.
Yeah, exactly. Although I still like Foster the People. I'm super excited about Washed Out, though. Have you heard Washed Out?
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, he might be too like mellow for your taste. And then also Foxygen, they've got that 60s like hippie vibe.
Right.
But I was supposed to see them at FYF Fest and they canceled, so I'm really excited to see them too. But
cool. Yeah, Washed Out, the whole kind of chill wave scene never really totally did it for me.
It didn't do it for me, but I think he's really good at it.
He's better than the rest of the crop.
He is such a good musician. And I saw him at FYF, and I had a great time, so can't wait.
Bruce Springsteen released... We've got just basically a bunch of old people are dumping out their albums this month. Bruce Springsteen released an album that's mostly, like, re-recordings of some of his older songs and covers. It's kind of an odds and ends record.
Huh.
This is a song he's covered often in concert. It's a cover of a Suicide song called Dream Baby Dream. Not very lyrically deep.
Sounds like Bruce Springsteen.
It does sound like Bruce Springsteen, all right. Are you not a Bruce fan?
No.
I'm not really either. I don't totally get it.
Yeah.
He's very earnest. He's a little overproduced.
Yeah, I never got it. I don't know if it's a generational thing, because I love old music and I love classic rock, but
right.
I never connected with him.
Same deal. And there was an era where indie rock was going through its Bruce Springsteen phase, like when the Hold Steady was really big, and I never totally got it.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of like that song. I'd heard the live version of it, and I'm glad there's a recorded version, because the original Suicide song is really cool, and it's kind of cool to hear him turn it into a Bruce Springsteen song. Just I like that process of interpretation.
Uh-huh.
One more. This is probably my pick from the last month, because Mouse on Mars has been one of my favorite electronic music innovators for a long, long time, and they just put out the EP Spezmodia. So check this out. Anyway, I just love that those guys are constantly updating their sound. Mouse on Mars record sounds a little different from the last one. They've been doing it for like 20 years now. It's cool. It's always really just kind of spastic and lots of really interesting organic synth sounds. They're really good at what they do. Real quickly, you probably have not been watching True Detective on HBO.
I haven't seen it, no.
That's cool. You may have heard on our last podcast that I'm going to start reviewing every episode of True Detective every week.
Oh, okay.
So here's a very quick, because we're definitely running over. I want to talk a little bit about the episode that aired on HBO this last Sunday. It's only, you guys should watch it along with me. It's an 8-episode series starring Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. Just that cast alone should attract you to it. I originally watched this and the premiere. I got some HBO screeners, so I watched them back to back. And the second one was a little blurry to me, so I rewatched it again this morning. And I still, there's something about this show that really grabs me and really connects with me. I often have trouble getting into a show that seems like it has no sense of humor whatsoever. Usually even like a drama, I feel like I need some laugh lines, some levity.
Some comic relief,
something to latch onto. And this is just, it's noir. It's like, it's darker than dark. But there's something about the mood of it, and there's something about the performances that's really connecting. McConaughey's character is so humorless that it almost becomes a joke in itself.
Uh-huh.
That he's taking everything so seriously that he actually becomes kind of a funny character. But there's just been some really interesting parallels between the two leads this week. The parallel scenes between, you've got McConaughey, who's talking to the prostitute trying to find out more about the case, and he's not really that interested in sex with her. He's just trying to get the details. And meanwhile, Woody Harrelson is just totally focused on trying to get Alexandra Daddario naked, which I totally understand. But showing, you know, how Woody Harrelson is supposed to be the more straight-laced guy. This whole thing, the creator of the show, Nick Pizzolatto, has described it as a riff on the buddy cop dynamic. These guys are obviously not buddies, but they are kind of a straight arrow and a rule breaker.
Uh-huh.
Except in this case, the rule breaker is more of the moral guy, and the straight arrow seems like he's the one who's kind of dicking around on his wife and kind of the real asshole here. So it's an interesting play on that dynamic. And just for watching the show, it's not like a very plot-based show. It's kind of one where just the imagery just washes over you, and there's some beautiful, gorgeous compositions in it. Some of the shots this week of the Louisiana skyline, of some of McConaughey's drug freakouts, all that stuff is great. It's interesting that one of the main characters is hallucinating. It makes you think that maybe there's some elements of this show that are not real. I'm very curious to see, how McConaughey's character got from his 1998 self to his completely different 2012 self, and it makes me wonder if there are elements of the plot we're seeing that we're going to realize a few episodes from now are not what they seem to be whatsoever. But not a lot of plot has actually happened so far. It's been mostly character development. I'm curious to see where it goes, though. So hopefully more development along those lines coming soon.
And that's the one show that you're watching and updating every week?
I picked it just because I wanted to pick a new show, you know?
Yeah.
It's definitely a weird show to talk about every week. I'm realizing that now as I've started watching it. Nonetheless, because it's like it's a mini-series style show, it's only an 8-episode long story. I'm just in it for the long haul at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's good for this week. Next week, if all goes well, I'm going to be trying out another one of my original 10 ideas that I first talked about in episode 2. I'm not going to say which one. I'm just going to tease you guys a little bit now. It's really exciting. Lynette, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope this episode was to your liking.
Yeah, I think this is your best episode so far.
Of course you do. Of course you do, right? It's been a total pleasure. Thanks for stopping by, and I'll see all you guys next week. Don't forget to vote for your theme song chord progression on Twitter at @RadioTFB. Check out joshrichmond.net. Do you have anything you want to plug?
No, not really.
Okay, then fuck it. Thanks for listening to Josh Figures It Out. See you guys next week. Catch you guys on the flip side. Ciao.